let's say kids are listening to it that's in college, or mm-hmm. they're trying to make a decision. So it's the ICR.
Yeah.
The IB. Can we like talk about each one?
Yeah, I was actually gonna go there.
Okay.
So the four, it was pay, repay, the IBR, and ICR. The reason I found out is because when I was trying to get a loan forgiveness plan, mm-hmm. I wasn't part of one of those.
Right.
And so I got declined.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, what is this? And so, yeah, can you go into the depth okay. of the parameters of each?
So let's go through it. So the Obama administration gave us the pay and the repay plan. Mm-hmm. So pay came out first, and that's for those that have new loans or newly consolidated loans in the direct loans program. Your payment is capped at 10%. Mm-hmm. Repay came out like, because people went off, they were like upset, like, so I can't get my payments lower. So then they came out what's called repay that said, if you just have a direct loan, doesn't have to be newly consolidated, you can get 10% too, although more is forgiven over time under the pay plan than the repay plan. The IBR plan is the old-fashioned income-based repayment plan that everybody knows. And anybody listening should check their loans to see which plan they normally are under. Mm-hmm. Most people never switch out, and they could actually lower their payment by going to repay from IBR.
So you have, based on how much you make will determine how much you're going to have to pay.
Yes.
Okay.
So IBR is at a 15% margin. ICR is at a 20% repayment. And if anybody's listening, they will write down if they had parent plus loans. Hmm. Sometimes you teach, I'm like, I want to write it out.
Yeah, I know
so,
those.
I'm like, okay, so ICR is 20%. Now, what Biden is proposing is the plan that they're saying that he's coming out with will be at 5%. So some people are really going to see a good win in terms of their money.
5%.
Of your expectation to be able to repay back loans.
So if you borrow $100,000, you only have to pay back $5,000?
Oh, no, 5% of your income.
Your income. So your income. $5,000.
Okay.
Right. So like if somebody was making $100,000, mm-hmm. like at with a teacher's salary in New York, that could happen easily, mm-hmm. right? And you have to pay 15%. Mm-hmm. That's $1,500, right? Mm-hmm. And so like you have to make to get the forgiveness of the one I was thinking, I think it's the PSLF, right?
Yes.
The mm-hmm. public service. So if you're a teacher, if you're anything in a public service, you can get this loan forgiveness. You'd have to make 120 consecutive payments
yes.
to qualify for it.
Yes.
And that started, it dates back to 2007. Mm-hmm. So this was the problem I ran into. I'm like, oh, bet, 2007, I haven't missed a payment. And 2017, it was my 10th year. And I was like, oh, great.
So then you need to look into what's called the TEPSLF.
So I did it. I got forgiven for another loan.
Okay.
Yeah. So then that's when I started researching. Wait, there's more loans out there for teachers.
Yes.
And so I did the teacher loan forgiveness, where it was like, if you are a highly qualified teacher in the subject at 5 years and it has to be a Title I school.
Wait, so that's clarification.
Yeah, yeah. There's two different.
I got to remember we're doing a podcast. Yeah, so I'm not gonna, like, so let me
yeah, yeah.
So what you're saying is, okay, so let me ask you a question. So okay. You got the teacher loan forgiveness.
Yep.
But did you get the TE?
I did not. I did not.
Did you apply yet?
I did, but they told me I wasn't in one of those four qualifying one. So I wasn't in pay, repay, IBR.
Well, wait, no. TE is different than PSLF.
Okay, no, then I wasn't. I didn't get that. Yeah, yeah, okay, go.
So I'm going to offline show you the other plan.
Perfect.
So the government, and the money might still be available.
Okay.
They gave a window of money for people that, like him, have been paying since 2007, but was on a standard plan, let's mm-hmm. say. And he like, I've been paying, so why am I not? And I work for, and so it's under a different program.
Okay.
It's just like a spinoff of the PSLF. A lot of people don't know about it. They talked about it one time on the news. I'm like, so I'll show you where that's at.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, there's still money available.
Yeah, because it was like a bunch of people had applied. They had mm-hmm. did the 10 years. They had the 120 payments. And I think less than 1% of people actually right. got forgiveness.
So then they told them to go back and apply for that second plan I'm telling you about.
Yeah.
But it got confusing and people didn't do it. They closed it. They reopened it. So last time I checked, I looked literally the other day. It's still open.
Your DM is about to blow up.
Okay. but that's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to be really knowledgeable about these things. And let me be very clear. Like, I don't work for Sallie Mae. I don't even like student loans in a concept. I like that people that come to us or come to me initially can get the help to move forward in life.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, if you walk away with 100% forgiveness after that, he's going to be light as a bird around here, right? And then you're going to do something different with your money. Like, I don't know how much you pay towards your student loans out of COVID, but that additional money can go to all the things you guys talk about, right?
Yeah.
Real estate and investing. But that'd be the number one reason why people do not get into growing their money, because the student loan debt payments.
Yeah. It can make you stagnant, right?
Depression too, right?
It can make you depressed. Yeah. It could leave you to a point where it's like, yo, now I have to live at home longer than I expected.
Absolutely.
Now I can't afford to get a car. Now I can't afford to even be in a real relationship, right? Because I can't have a fiance. Oh, I can't get married. I can't afford to do it. And so it stagnates your life from a decision that you made at 18.
I gotta tell a story.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is real. And if somebody's watching this, going to understand what I'm about to say. So if you are particularly like a black woman and you're dating and you got six-figure student loan debt, I know it come up in your mind at one point, like, how am I going to tell this man, right? So what happens when I used to do one-on-one appointments in person, I miss those days. Those were fun. Guys who used to book their fiance and girlfriends for like appointments that the girls didn't know about. Mm. So they would come in like, well, where are we at? And I'm like, hi. I'm thinking everybody knows. Nobody knows but him. And I'm like, so you didn't tell him? And he's like, no, I'm going to go get some lunch. And he like just dropped the girl off. So now she's arms folded. She's tight. And I'm like, oh, God. And you know, remember how you had like panty buttons at work? Yeah. I don't have that in the office. So I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, so here's what's going to happen. So we're going to go through your loans. And I said, and so the girl, I remember she was so upset. She had that bad attitude. And then I just had to get real for like 2 seconds, you know. I was like, look, this was about to be. I was like, I really think that this man likes you. He likes you enough to have booked this appointment. He thinks highly enough of you. That probably means he may want to propose, get married soon. But he's very serious about his money, and he's not going to propose to you unless you tackle your student loan debt. Because I think she told him, right? So I said, so what we're going to do is we're going to put you in this plan. And I think she was eligible for PSLF. I said, and then when he comes back, you're going to tell him the game plan, like all excited and enthusiastic. You got it? But I don't know. Like, I just think I'm a whole different person. And she was like, okay. So we did work it out to where her payments would be 130. She was enrolled on PSLF. And then you could see his face was like, oh, all right, okay, so what you saying is all she got to do is, so he was like real light after that because it was real tense. And then sure enough, you know, I stalked him. I wanted to see, like 6 months later, he proposed. But now, like, I don't think he would have not proposed if, well, we don't know really.
Yo.
But he really needed to feel comfortable that she was on top of her loan debt. And so it does come up in dating and trying to buy a home together.
Student loan doctor slash marriage counselor.
Salute that man. So let me ask you this. Okay, so... me, I'm a slow learner, and fortunately, I never had to deal with any of this stuff. So, all of this stuff is like kind of foreign to me. So, for people that you know might be in the same boat as me, and they might have children, it might not affect them, but they might have children. Yeah. So,
for sure.
let's try to unpack this a little bit. So, it's like all these different loans. Which one is the best loan to get in? I know that's like a hard question, mm-hmm. but which one is the best loan to get in? And then if you are in a bad loan, how can you maneuver into a good one?
So with the federal government, there's only like one type of loan, which is a federal loan, right? And so when we have students going to college, they get what's called an award letter. They'll be told if they get any grants, any scholarships. And then on the award letter, it'll say unsub and sub, right? And so sub means loans that have interest that's paid for by the government. Unsub means the interest you're responsible from day one as to how it accrues. Parents get jammed up when they apply for what's called the Parent Plus loan. It's like the devil child of student loans. Like it's bad, but they really make it to where parents get trapped with those. It's like kind of like a private loan.
Yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that's the difference between the federal and the privates. Yeah,
right. And because the interest rate is horrible, like 7.8. Most times they want you to go into repayment right away. They do hit and look at your credit. And so they got to decide who has better credit, mom or dad, when doing the application. If mom or dad gets denied, the child can get $2,000 additional per the semester. But if you're going anywhere outside of a state school, like if we're here in New York, that money should be enough to cover that tuition. But when people go to more expensive schools, what happens? What do they got to take out?
Private loans.
And now private loans are really like the death of our economy, mm-hmm. particularly for black millennials, because everyone wants to go to an HBCU, right? But everybody's not getting full funding to go to an HBCU. So I see a lot of graduates that come out. The most they can borrow is $57,500 undergrad. And then they have like $100,000 in private loan debt. Let me be really clear. $100,000 private loan is different than $100,000 federal. And the reason it is because if you owe $100,000, your payment could still only be $200 based off of your income and who you take care of. But with a private loan, that payment is going to be $1,000 with a period behind it.
Then the F word comes. Forbearance, right?
So
well, no, not with private loan.
Oh, not with private, with federal you can.
Yeah.
Okay. So federal loans, all of these programs, income-based programs, all of that. But private loans, there's no kind of program to lower the payment?
No, your lender may have something like Navi and may say, well, we'll allow you to do some forbearance, but then the interest is still capitalizing. And the time you come out of it, the payment's now like $1,300 a month. So it's really no relief. Now, let me say this. There are only two states, Pennsylvania and Texas, that will not allow private loan debt to take over your income, like garnish your wages. Mm-hmm. But New York, definitely, we get a lot of clients that call in crying literally because they get their paychecks snatched up to 25%. Georgia, particularly Florida. I'm just thinking about where we get the most calls from with that issue. Boston, Massachusetts. So if you're listening to this and you have private loan debt, right? Because I know that's the question that comes up a lot. The goal is to get your credit up as best as possible so that you can refinance your loans. This is the best time to refinance private loan debt. But I have an asterisk. So because I do believe with the Biden administration that there is going to be a form of loan forgiveness, $10,000, $50,000, or 100%, through the Higher Education Act of 1965, the president-elect is already allowed, as soon as he takes office, he can just sign it off. Like in one stroke of a pen.
Yeah. Sign what off?
So that's a good point. You're still in loan debt. And so those are some of the proposals, right? There is the everybody who has federal student loan debt. Yes. We don't want to confuse it with private. Mm-hmm. They're going to get $10,000 if he signs it, right? Or the other proposal is we can do $10,000 for 5 years, mm-hmm. right? Or completely wipe away everybody's student loan.
His program, $10,000 for 5 years, that'll just pass probably through the Congress and the House. That's fine. But what we know he has the authority to do, every president has already had the authority to do, is literally sign 100% that $1.9 trillion away.
So here's my question, mm-hmm. right? Let's say, because the average person, right, has under $30,000 in student loan debt. There's no interest being applied right now, right? Mm-hmm. Only the principal you can pay toward that. If we can do it, should we pay it off or should we wait till the administration to come in and see what happens?
So I get that question like almost every day. So here's what I would say. There is going to be something coming. And you know, a president likes to make his mark in the first 100 days.
Yeah.
So for real, you could wait like, you know, about 120
days. I'm asking for a friend.
Days,
I'm asking for a friend.
If you was watching this like right now, you know, about 130 days out, I would be on a minimum payment type of situation. Because if something did come, let's say the big number that the Democrats are pushing him to is $50,000. You would have your loans wiped clear, but you're not getting any money back mm-hmm. that you put out.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's bad to say this out loud, but I would probably be a minimum payment to see what happens.
Ernest, what's going on? It's a new year. And guess what? We're not doing New Year's resolutions. We're doing New Year, who's executing? And in order to execute, you got to have the information. What better place to start than EYL University? Shadi, tell them what we're bringing.
Yes, EYL University has graduated. We revamped the whole entire curriculum, whole entire program, and now it is EYL University Grad School. So it already includes over 100 past webinars. It already includes weekly webinars from industry experts. It already includes monthly financial planning calls with me. It already includes access to our private investment group on Facebook, movie club, book club. But what we have added is the Home Buyer's Blueprint Reloaded with over 12 hours of video content was added to that. Once a week, we'll be doing video calls for mentorship, all things real estate.
Yeah, you know how this works. Don't wait, don't hesitate, don't play yourself, reward yourself. Here's what we're gonna do for you. We're gonna give you 50% off for a limited time only. 50% off, and you're gonna become an earner. See you on the side, y'all.
So,
noted.
Let me ask you this as far as, all right, so I guess the best student loan to get in is a federal loan, not a private loan.
Yes. Right?
The best one. So when you get in, those options are just repayment options. Like there's only one federal student loan, right? It's not like different types of federal student loans?
No, it's just one type of federal loan. The other federal loans that they used to have, which are called FFEL or FFELP or Perkins loans.
I remember those.
Right? Those are more so with colleges and universities would give out on behalf of the government. Those loans and programs have stopped.
Okay.
If you are listening to this and you have an FFEL or FFELP or Perkins loan, you should look into consolidating your loans into the direct loans program so that you can take advantage of any forgiveness that's coming. Because this current administration does not get paid, or even the CARES Act, if you had a loan that wasn't a direct loan, even in the CARES Act, they didn't pay for your loans right now. They didn't cover your loan debt. So you probably want to look into consolidation and see if it's a good fit.
So, I mean, it puts, especially parents, you know, who come from working class, you know, homes, because a lot of times when you apply for student loans and your parents make a certain amount or a decent living, you're not going to get any, right? Most times, like I remember applying for student loans and I got like $246. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is like one book. And so it forces you almost to say like, I got to take out this loan, then I got to go the private route. So what do we do in those scenarios? Is it just like try your best and get scholarships or look for grants? What are we supposed to do?
So a student going into college?
Yeah.
Right. So a couple of things. If you're a student listening to this, I know you guys do have a good audience that's younger. You know, I believe in what's called Scholarship Sundays. Hmm. So I would recommend that starting in sophomore and junior year, you start looking for the scholarships you're going to apply to most times in junior year. Mm-hmm. Right. And the challenge with all of this is, and what it comes down to is, as parents, we don't prepare well enough. And by no fault to anybody listening, like, don't feel bad that you didn't prepare. But just know that this generation right here, the millennial generation, has to be the one to end student loan debt. Like, first off, if you're listening to your podcast and they're listening, they shouldn't even be thinking about their child having to take out student loans. Like, that's contrary. Everything you guys teach in terms of wealth building.
Yeah,
right?
I just had this conversation the other night. Like, whose responsibility is it? Is it the parents' lack of preparation?
That's the issue. Like, I'm being all straight. Like,
yeah, but I mean, a lot of us are first generation college graduates, and yes. So like our parents, my parents are not from this country. They don't know these things, and yes. So like now I'm looking at it, my responsibility for my children is like we're never gonna have to take.
So, all right. So let me ask you this, because fortunately, like I said, I didn't have to go through this process because I played basketball and I had a scholarship.
Oh, yes,
he's a scholarship kid.
I'm not.
He has to be a little different.
You see how he's sitting? That's when you don't got student loan debt. That's what you look like.
You know, we had our pearls right now. What's going on over there?
He's like, what is this FHA you're talking about, Troy?
You got to work on your jump shot.
I'm like, dang, nobody's
supposed
to be
sport. Yeah, nah.
I had scholarships in college. Can I be really, really honest with you? I just didn't have guidance to tell me to not take out the refund check. So I didn't have a lot. I'm going to be real. Like, in college, yo, I'm living good now. But in college, I was living right under this level. And I know that sounds weird, but I had a full ride.
That refund red. Check.
As a young black kid, somebody saying, come to the bursar's office and pick up $5,000 every semester. What? You remember True Religions?
What?
Yo, listen, True Religions, if you was my friend, I got you up here. I didn't want to walk on campus and we didn't look fly together. We're not eating campus food. We're going to Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the first to ever call you. College was so fun. But that's because I had a lot of money coming in from scholarships that the refunds that I did take was like play money because I didn't understand them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, like Sundays, we're all here eating. Yo, it was like the
made
best
us over here.
I don't even know if I had real friends. I probably bought a lot of friendships because I've always been very, very generous and I have a good heart. And I'm really, if I eat, you eat. That's how I feel. And it used to be to the point, Brian's like, Shane said, like,
he said yes.
Yeah, so like on Sundays, it's like so digress, but like I was like, all right, I'm cooking, I'm not a cook. I'm like, if you want to contribute, true story, I'm like, put the pack of fish with your name on a ciggy so I know that you can come back. Because they would drop off all type of food. All my guy friends, I have a lot of guy friends. Like, you could do fried fish, just drop it off at the door. Yeah.
That's it.
Like that.
That's it.
Was like, and then all the.
I needed you in college.
Nah, right?
Yeah. This is a true story.
I know the story.
For one year straight, I ate tuna fish every day.
My friend 1 year straight ate ramen noodles. And imagine that wall being stacked up with ramen noodles. Beef. Shrimp and chicken. Like, what do you want today? I don't want that. I was like,
yeah. We got options. Yeah, beef.
I haven't had tuna fish in a while. I still eat it every once in a while, but now I eat it in a salad.
Oh.
I was eating it in a sandwich.
Did
like,
your meal plan get jacked up?
Nah, you know the thing about it is playing sports. So so my first 2 years was in Maryland. My next 2 years was in Hawaii. So Maryland, the scholarship included just the cafeteria food and dorm rooms and all that. When I went to Hawaii, everything was paid for, but they gave me a check. They gave me a check for like $6,000, and then that was to pay for my off-campus apartment, pay for food, and all of that. So
you blew it.
I was on my own, so I was just going grocery shopping. But I didn't know how to cook. I had a Foreman grill. I was just putting anything on the Foreman grill, and then I would just
you
make.
You had no friends. cook.
Yeah, we 11,000. We was, nope, I mean, nope. We 11 hours away. Yeah, we back in New York.
So yeah, so you know, it was tough, but we made it through. We made it through. We made it through.
We look good though. You guys, omegas up.
You see what I'm saying?
That's see how close his skin is.
You could put tuna in your salad when you got a pre student loan.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. But let me ask you this. So yeah, so as far as parents, right? It's interesting what you just said. You said if they're listening to this, they shouldn't even be worrying about that. So what is your advice for parents? Like, because it's like, all right, so if they can't afford to send their kid to college, right? Should they just go community college and state school and just only do federal? Like, should they never do? At what point does it make sense to do student loans, or does it really make sense to do student loans?
So I'm licensed but not licensed in this section, so I'm going to teeter lightly, but I think it would be best to pick everyone to Google the 529 plan in their state and then talk to a licensed professional that can talk to you about a 529 plan. Because if you are, I call what's called the sticky middle. Middle class is what's called the sticky middle. Mm-hmm. Not enough to get a full grant ride, but not wealthy enough to pay out a pocket, right? So that sticky middle is, that's where a lot of people suffer. They're like, oh, you should be able to contribute to your child's education. And most people can't. So what happens is the student loan debt, the private loan debt, the parent plus loan debt comes into play. But there is something called, I'm really a big proponent and fan of, called the 529 plan, where someone that has a child early on or a grandchild can start to contribute to their child's education. And we can have a 529 party every year on the birthday. So I know a few people that their child at age 9 has their college fully paid for at today's prices.
So the 529 party, no gifts, would just contribute to the plan.
You literally bring it in, like, you can online and deposit, or you can just bring a 20.
I like that.
You can write a check, too, from checkbook to 529. We spoke about that a few times on the podcast. All right, so your philosophy is like, you should be planning to pay for college. Don't rely on
because
on
you know loans. That our culture, and when I say our African Americans, we don't believe in picking up the tab for our kids in this extent. But in other cultures, like I've been studying this, it is expected that the parent pays for that.
It's like a wedding.
Yeah, but in our culture, what do we pay for, right?
We pay for it all.
Prom.
Oh, prom.
Oh, yeah, proms, we do that.
Maybe weddings, right? Cars.
Baby showers.
Baby showers. Yeah. Extravagant.
Baby showers.
Yeah. We get more baby showers than weddings. Well, that's a fact.
Right.
The Burberry shirt. The Burberry shirt was a staple at baby shower.
That's how you knew who the father was. It's to do with the Burberry shirt. That's him. you know what? Also, too, and to go along with that, is that we got to change the stigma on community college.
Yes.
Especially in New York, man. It's like people feel like, I feel like I'm not going anywhere.
13th grade. Right?
Yeah, it's like, it's number one, if you're getting a liberal arts degree, it won't matter because you're going to be able to. He's dying. It won't matter. I mean, you can still transfer after 2 years. Plus, you're going to save yourself maybe $50,000 to $100,000 by just staying home. You know what I mean? You're not paying room and board. You're still eating at home.
So here's the hack.
The stigma is crazy.
So I'm a reformed college professor, right? And I could teach at a community college or I could teach at a private institution. It was the same class, the same textbook. I just got paid a little different. But the students were paying at the community college to see me on Tuesday, $300. Mm-hmm. At the private college, they were paying $1,600 a class. Mm-hmm. Same professor, same book, just catch me on a different show. Like,
and once you, it's like if you have a bachelor's degree and you went to community college, they don't count your associate. Only thing that matters is your bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. If you have a master's degree, the only thing that really matters is your master's degree. So like a lot of people even think like the first 4 years, if you know you're going to be a doctor, like, go to a good undergrad, but don't spend all of your money on it, like, because your master's program is going to be more important.
Yeah.
Like, you know who went to community college? Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody knows that because they only look at
Harvard.
Harvard, so and I think he went to, where did he go before Harvard? Columbia. He went to Columbia and he went to Harvard. So it's like they only look at that part of it, but they didn't look at the 2 years he spent in community college. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But now it's 2 years that you're going for next to nothing. And a lot of kids aren't mature enough to actually go away from home and they make a lot of mistakes. So that's like, you know,
costly,
time to actually develop and grow as a person. And now you got 2 years on your belt and now you can get another 2 years if you want.
I'm going to be honest with you. With COVID, I would be pissed if I was paying that tuition and I'm home with my friend that's home on the same platform paying way less tuition. Like, that's crazy. Like, I would be enrolling and switching over to another school, like, personally.
So let me ask you this. As far as forbearance, there's general forbearance and administrative forbearance. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between those two?
So general forbearance, I'll give you an example. It's like when you need to call your lender, like, I don't got it. Like, so it's 36 months of the lifetime of your loan that you can just extend it, no questions asked. Then you have what's called administrative forbearance from the government for whatever they determine as a permissible reason. They can cover your interest, right? And then you have what's called economic deferment. That's when people don't know about this one, but that's when you get laid off. Or you lost your job, you have some paperwork that says that instead of using your general forbearance months, you want to use your economic deferment. Or if you live in an area that has really bad weather, like hurricanes and so forth, mm-hmm. there's weather-related deferments too that people can get so that you don't have to, again, run through your 36 months.
How would you know that? Because I didn't know that. Do you have to call your lender? Do you offer weather forbearance? Do you offer job?
Well, it's a government program, but it's, okay. Again, it's not fully advertised. See, that's the problem, again, with a lot of our lenders and their websites. Some websites, some lenders, it's super easy. Click here, go here. Some are like, contact us, and then you're on hold for, 30 minutes? And then people just like, oh, forget it. I'm not about to pay them. Mm-hmm. Now it hits your credit. It's a cycle that happens.